speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
All rights reserved and affirmed.
Creole minds. These are weapons of mass dissent.
These are weapons of mass dissent.
Welcome to Uprising, a daily digest of independent news analysis, investigation, education, artistic expression, and activism. It's Wednesday, February 18th, 2009, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar.
It just makes me stop and think.
Silence is not an option.
Are we living in a post-racial America? Tim Wise takes on the question with his new book and speech, Between Barack and a Hard Place, Racism and White Denial in the Age of Obama.
This is Uprising.
Good morning and welcome to Uprising. The Obama administration is making moves toward reversing the U.S. boycott of the U.N. Conference on Racism. Under President Bush, the United States refused to attend meetings on the basis of language that apparently singled out Israel for its treatment of Palestinians. Also controversial at the conference is a move to call for reparations for slavery. President Barack Obama's election to the nation's highest office is a profound step against the racism that has plagued the U.S. from its inception as a country. But, argues commentator and anti-racist activist Tim Wise, the achievements of individuals does not automatically negate the experiences of millions of people of color who experience institutional and other forms of racism on a daily basis. In fact, argues Wise, Obama's presidency has provided an excuse for white folk to proclaim that racism is dead. Wise is the author of several books, including White Like Me, Reflections on Race from a Privileged Son, and Speaking Treason Fluently, Anti-Racist Reflections from an Angry White Male. His brand new book, out for just a couple of weeks, is called Between Barack and a Hard Place, Racism and White Denial in the Age of Obama. Tim Wise spoke in January 2009 at the All Saints Church in Pasadena about the topic of this new book, and his speech today is our thank you gift to you for a pledge of $100 anytime this hour if you call and pledge at 818-985-5735. We also have the speech available on CD for a $50 pledge and his book, an incredible book, very relevant to our times today, available for a pledge of just $75. Again, that number is 818-985-5735. I want to play for you the opening moments of his speech that was given very recently. And as you're listening, think about calling in and supporting this radio station.
I think the idea was that I would come out and I would talk about racism and white privilege. And then, you know, a funny thing happened between then and now. Barack Obama was elected president, so now I guess racism and white privilege are over. And so thank you all for coming. Enjoy your lunch. Or maybe not. You might think it obviously absurd, and I think your laughter suggests that it's obviously absurd to think that racism and institutional white privilege and supremacy have been eradicated or significantly vitiated by the election of President-elect Obama. And yet, as absurd as you may think it is, please know that there are an awful lot of people for whom the absurdity of the suggestion is not at all clear. So that, for example, the day after the election on November 5th of last year, the Wall Street Journal on their editorial page wrote the following. They said, quote, "One promise of his victory is that perhaps we can put to rest the myth of racism as a barrier to achievement in this splendid country." And on Election Day itself, even before the votes were in, Richard Cohen, a columnist for the Washington Post, wrote, quote, "It is not just that Obama is post-racial, so is the nation he is generationally primed to lead." And then he goes on and ends his column that day with a very bizarre appropriation of civil rights language by saying at the end, "We have overcome." But even before that, or actually slightly after that, that evening on election night, on NBC, Rudy Giuliani, holding forth as a commentator on NBC, is asked what he thinks the what appeared at that moment to be the pending election and victory of Barack Obama meant. And he said, "If the trend this evening holds up, it will demonstrate that we have, quote, moved beyond the whole idea of race and racial separation and unfairness," end of quote. So what we're hearing from Rudy Giuliani, from Richard Cohen, from the Wall Street Journal, and if you're like me, you've probably heard it from individuals who have filled your email box with the same type of suggestion, perhaps friends or colleagues or neighbors or relatives who also have suggested that Obama's victory signifies that we're living in a nation where racial inequity is no longer, that we are living in that thing we are euphemistically calling the post-racial America. So I guess, if that is true, and of course, if it was said on the TV, it must be true, I guess now that black and Latino folks will not have poverty rates three times the white rate and unemployment rates twice as high. Suppose that Asian Pacific Americans and Pacific Islanders will not have 30% higher poverty rates than whites, even though on average the APA and API community is more likely to have a college degree than folks in the white community and yet still more likely to remain in poverty. I guess being in a post-racial America, all of that will have changed. I guess that being in a post-racial country, black men with college degrees will now, as of November 5th, and certainly after January 20th, will earn the same as white men with a college degree, instead of the one-third less that they were earning before the election of Barack Obama. I guess that black folks will now have net worth and assets equal to that of whites, and Latinos will as well, thank God, because as of November 3rd, you know, the average white family in this country had 12 times the accumulated net worth and assets of the typical black family, 8 times that of the typical Latino family. Thank God all that is over. I suppose now that white neighborhoods will be just as likely to be the siting place for hazardous waste dumps and other toxic chemical exposure sites as black and Latino neighborhoods have always been, because, you know, as of like last October, black and brown spaces were 2 to 3 times more likely to be the location of a hazardous waste site, a brownfield, a Superfund site, et cetera, an incinerator, et cetera, as white neighborhoods. But, of course, that's no longer true. I guess now the Border Patrol will redeploy at least a third of its force to the Canadian border. Because now that we are in a post-racial America, there will be no need to concentrate only on one border, you know. I suppose all of that will be true. It's very good to know that all of these things have changed. In fact, they changed so much that I have a proposition just to show you what a fun guy I am. For all the black folk in the room, we're going to actually, when we're done, come up here. We're going to go to the richest, whitest neighborhood in Pasadena, and we're going to drive real slow through. And you're going to be amazed at how nobody calls the cops the way they would have in racial America. But now we're in post-racial America, so they won't call the cops. They'll actually all come out and give you flowers.
And that is the voice of Tim Wise in his inimitable style, speaking just a few weeks ago at All Saints Church in Pasadena, a very progressive church and friend of KPFK's, talking about race and racism in the age of Obama. His book just out for a few weeks, coinciding with the talk called Between Barack and a Hard Place, Racism and White Denial in the Age of Obama. That's the title of the book. And we are interrupting this talk because we'd like for you to support this station that plays Tim Wise. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. 818-985-5735 for a pledge of $100. We'll give you the DVD of this entire speech. It's 2 hours long, and it's got the entire speech plus the question and answer session, which was very, very engaging. For a pledge of $75, added to that, you can get the book by Tim Wise. You can also get the speech on CD for $50 pledge. Just get all 3 for $225. Spread it out over 12 months if you can. The book by Tim Wise is an incredible book. It's to date the only book that carefully details how both parties and candidates dealt with race during the presidential campaign and what their actions reveal about the ongoing presence of racism in the United States. And, you know, there are many critical looks at Obama and his campaign, but they're mostly written from a very partisan right-wing perspective. This book, written by a white progressive male of Obama's generation, honestly assesses the risks that an Obama presidency poses to race relations for the future. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. 818-985-5735. Make a pledge to KPFK. I'm going to play some excerpts from this talk that hadn't gotten the chance to play last week when we did play clips from it. And, you know, the talk touches on so many things, including racial profiling in New Orleans after Katrina and the reality of what white vigilantes did. Also, he goes into detailed explanation of why he thinks white Americans voted for Obama and what it means for the future of race relations in the United States. Let's take another listen to Tim Wise speaking just in January about the issue, about the topic of his new book, Between Barack and a Hard Place, Racism and White Denial in the Age of Obama.
So that's where we are as a nation. You can't talk about this, but we must. Because if we don't, we allow that false sense of security to be created by the election, the success, the triumph of this one individual. That's the first danger if we're not careful of the Obama election. None of this is his fault, by the way. Right? It's just to say that the political culture in which he decided to participate and from which he has emerged victorious is one where truth is not considered audacious or even important, where platitudes about the greatness of the country carry more weight than the truth about the underbelly of what continues to go on in this country and is done under our nose, and we don't even see it until 3 years after the fact in the case of New Orleans. But the danger isn't just that we'll go back to sleep on racism and reinforce denial, though that's one of the dangers. There are a few others. Second danger is that we ignore the irony of Obama's win. See, what I suggest in my book, which I had hoped would be out by the time I got here, it will be out next week. What I argue in that book is that the triumph of Obama not only doesn't mean the defeat of racism, it actually signifies the shape-shifting of racism from what I call racism 1.0, to put it in software terminology, to racism 2.0. Racism 1.0, we sort of know it when we see it, you know. It's the old-fashioned kind. If you watch enough YouTube clips of white folks in Pennsylvania, for example, leading to the election, you saw some of that racism 1.0 in full effect on display for the world to see. But racism 2.0 is a little different, and it's insidious because it's so subtle compared to racism 1.0. Racism 2.0, what I mean by that, is a kind of racism that allows white folks to vote for the black guy and yet still hold on to any number of negative views about average everyday black folks that do not channel their inner Cliff Huxtable as well. To put it in Cosby Show terminology, take it back a couple years, right? So in other words, we'll carve out exceptions for those black and brown folks who don't remind us of the rest of y'all. We will carve out exceptions for the ones who seem different, who do not remind us of the generally negative and pathological rule, but that's not the end of racism. That's the shape-shifting of racism. That's just a new kind. Because indeed, what it suggests is that people of color will only succeed on white terms. And if in order to succeed, you have to succeed on white terms, you have to play the game the way we need you to play it. Who has power in that situation? Not the black guy. The power in that situation still resides with white folks. So how has the system been fundamentally transformed in that moment? See, this is dangerous stuff because polls have suggested going back 20 years, including one that was taken relatively close to the election, that about 6 out of 10 white folks will admit. And we know there are things that people think about race and gender and sexuality that they won't tell a pollster, right? Just to seem more politically correct than they are, right? So 60% of whites, though, in the surveys indicate that they admit that they believe certain negative stereotypical racist views about black people, for example, or about Latinos. They'll admit it, holding on to at least one stereotypically fundamentally racist and false view, right? And yet, one of those surveys found that even those who feel that way, 6 out of 10 of them said, oh, but I'm still going to vote for Obama. And I bet many of them did because they could see in him a difference. They saw him as fundamentally not the same because, you know, he transcends race. That was the line. That was the rhetoric. Think about what that whole notion, that burden of transcendence means in terms of the existence or non-existence of racism. The whole concept of transcending race is a racist notion. Because when you say that this man transcends race and that's why you like him, what you're saying is we like the fact that he gets beyond his blackness. That's what we mean. Race is not some generic thing. You just don't have some generic thing. If you're black or you're a person of color, because I know somebody would prefer biracial, whatever, man of color. And in the taxonomy of the American system of oppression, that's a black man. Tiger Woods is too. He can call himself whatever he wants. In the taxonomy of the American system of racial oppression, that's a black man. And if he goes on the wrong side of town at the wrong side of night, he's Amadou Diallo. Nobody cares that he's Kablan Asian, you understand. So Barack Obama transcends race. It's a racist concept because what it implies, whether it's said overtly and it never is, what it implies is there's something wrong with blackness. So God, I hope you transcend. I hope you get through that. I hope you graduate from that. Don't get stuck there. This isn't a burden that's ever placed on a white politician. Never. Never has a white politician been asked to transcend race or to transcend their whiteness, because whiteness isn't something we seek to transcend. It's something to which we aspire.
And that's Tim Wise speaking at All Saints Church in Pasadena, January 2009, about racism and white denial in the age of Obama. An amazing speech, very provocative, very educational, and he talks about the shape-shifting of racism in this last excerpt, as we heard, how racism 1.0 is the kind of thing that we saw in Pennsylvania during the election campaign, the very, very vitriolic and overtly racist anti-Obama attitudes that were on full display at these rallies. That's racism 1.0. That's a sort of traditional form of racism that's recognizable. But what Tim Wise says is that racism 2.0 is what allows white Americans to vote for the black man and still hold on to their general impressions about people of color. And that's a very, very important thing, I think, to recognize, because as he said, polls conducted of those people who voted for Obama showed that they themselves admitted their own negative perceptions and still voted for Obama. I really love listening to what Tim Wise has to say. He always, always delivers. He always gives us the straight talk. He always expresses exactly, I think, what we need to be hearing on the issue of race and racism. You know, there's a lot of talk about war. There's a lot of talk about the economy. And it seems as though we've stopped talking about race. Or when we do have a conversation, it's about whether or not racism is dead. And Tim Wise makes it real. Give us a call right now if you appreciate what you just heard at 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. For a pledge of $100, you can get the DVD of this entire two-hour speech, or for $50, the CD. For $75, you can get a copy of his book, Between Barack and a Hard Place, Racism in the Age of and White Denial in the Age of Obama. You can get all three for a pledge of $225 at 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. He basically argues the following essential points: that the campaign and election of Barack Obama says very little about the degree to which racism and discrimination continue to limit the opportunities of most people of color, and that the rise of Obama has actually been due in part to the triumph of racism 2.0, in which whites continue to hold negative views about the larger black community while carving out exceptions for people like Obama who seem different or transcend race by downplaying its importance and appealing to white sensibilities. He also argues that the success of Obama could, unless we are careful, complicate the struggle against racism in two ways. First, by creating a new archetype of the so-called acceptable black man, thereby making it more difficult for non-Obama-like people of color to experience equality in the workforce, schools, justice system, or politics. And secondly, by reinforcing the myth of meritocracy, the notion that anyone can make it in America if they try, which can actually further racism by causing whites to view the larger mass of black and brown folk as inferior or self-defeating for not having attained success at the level of people like the Obamas. 818-985-5735 is a phone number to call. 818-985-KPFK. We're $10,000 away from the $500,000 mark during this fund drive. It would be absolutely phenomenal if here on this edition of Uprising, we were able to meet that $10,000 goal and reach $500,000 for the entire fund drive. Can we do it? I know we can. We do have the time to do it. We just need the callers. That's you calling in right now at 818-985-5735. And again, 818-985-KPFK. In this next excerpt that I want to play for you, Tim Wise tells us a story, and you might have heard it if you are a regular listener to KPFK, about post-Katrina New Orleans and how the media in particular gave us certain perceptions of black Americans in New Orleans looting and going on violent rampages, and how almost all of that was entirely untrue. But what the media never reported was the white vigilantes that were toting guns and were actually shooting them at black people. That's a story that we didn't want to hear in the time after the Hurricane Katrina struck New Orleans. And that's another story that Tim Wise tells us. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. 818-985-5735. It's a pledge of just $8.33 a month for the DVD of Tim Wise. And you can share it with your friends and family. I mean, maybe you have discussions within your family members, among your family members, about racism and Barack Obama. Maybe there are varying political stripes within your family. You could watch this speech together and have a discussion about it. I mean, that's the kind of educational value that KPFK has. And that's the kind of thing that we'd like to provoke among our listeners. 818-985-5735 is the phone number. I know you appreciate that about KPFK. So call us and make that pledge right now, 818-985-5735. Let's take another listen to Tim Wise's speech here, talking about post-Katrina New Orleans.
He couldn't talk about the way that our Arab American brothers and sisters, our Muslim brothers and sisters are treated. Certainly not. Couldn't talk about that. Not Barack Hussein Obama. Certainly couldn't talk about that. Because then someone would have said he was covering up for family, you know. Right? You can't talk about what those folk in the Arab American, and not just the Arab American, the Persian community, right? Not just the Muslim, but the Sikh community. Not anyone who's capable of being perceived as from that part of the world that we call the Middle East, because we don't want to address the topographical and climatological and anthropological truth that it might as well be North Africa. Different lecture for a different night. But anyone who is perceived as being from that part of the world that we call the Middle East since 9/11, according to multiple reports, have, as we know, been experiencing things that no white terrorist has ever prompted to be the result with the rest of the white community, right? So you have 19 Arab Muslims who fly planes into buildings, and otherwise rational people want to talk about profiling them all, stopping them all, that it's a moral and practical imperative. We did not do that, of course, when Tim McVeigh and Terry Nichols brought down the Murrah building. We didn't do it with the Unabomber. Crazy-ass white man, crazy, in the woods of Montana, sending bombs out for like 2 decades before they caught him. We didn't do it with Eric Rudolph. The Olympic Park bomber, Atlanta, 1996, plants a bomb in Olympic Village, blows up a gay bar in Atlanta, blows up a family planning clinic, and then he too runs off to the woods. By the way, side note, I don't know what it is about white folks in the woods exactly. But whatever it is probably explains why black folks don't do a lot of camping. Even our conceptions of crime, and I'm not talking about elites now, and I'm not talking about cops, I mean us, our public conceptions of crime indicate our own biases and willingness to fall prey to it in the age of Obama, just like any other age. Think about Katrina, or rather, think about post-Katrina New Orleans. Now, during the flooding of that great city, what was the rhetoric on television? What was the rhetoric in print media? What was the rhetoric coming from all quarters about how people were behaving? It was, my God, they're like animals. There were all these reports of violence in the evacuation centers, murders, rapes, molestations, people shooting and killing each other. Come to find out 3 weeks later, none of it was true. Not one murder in the evacuation centers. If there were sexual assaults, and there may well have been a few, there were fewer than happened in the mosh pit at Woodstock 99, which was a lot of white folks with college degrees going to listen to white rock and roll bands. And we know there were at least 24 sexual assaults there. The official data out of New Orleans now having been revealed is there were far fewer than that, if any, in the evacuation centers, contrary to what was said. The notion that there were child molestations happening. Totally untrue, but these rumors were repeated over and over and over, and folks believed them. Not only white folks, sadly, black folk too, and brown folk too, right? Mayor Nagin, Eddie Compass, the chief of police in New Orleans at the time, both black, repeated the lie. Oprah repeated the lie. They asked Tiger Woods on the like ninth hole of some tournament what he thought about it. I don't know why they thought it was relevant. But Tiger chimed in and said, it's terrible that, you know, black people are doing this to themselves. So this lie got spread and people believed it. Now, you know that's racist because if there were a hurricane, God forbid, take out Nantucket next summer. God forbid, threaten Cape Cod next summer. And someone were to start a rumor that a bunch of white folks were killing children in the basement of the Episcopal Church down the way, I think that somebody would have demanded bodies, that somebody would have demanded proof, somebody would have demanded evidence before they report that obviously nonsensical lie. But in this country, you can say anything you want about black people, and it will be believed. You see, What was deep is, if you've read A.C. Thompson's report from The Nation magazine of just a few weeks ago, that crazy, over-the-top violence in New Orleans post-Katrina wasn't being done by black folks. It was being done by white folks, and nobody reported on it until now with any regularity, and those who tried to weren't taken seriously. And so now, if you've read the report, you know, and if you haven't, you ought to go read it. That indeed there was a group of white vigilantes, we properly should call them terrorists, in Algiers Point, which is a white enclave on the west bank of the city, if you know the area, that in the wake of the flooding got all the guns that they could, including Uzis, and started shooting at, in their own words, hunting black people. This is what they said, not what I'm saying. At least 11 black men shot during that period simply for being in the wrong place at the wrong time, having engaged in no criminal activity, simply passing through Algiers Point to try to get to the pier where they had the buses coming to try to pick you up and to get you out of town. And they were hunting people of color. One white man interviewed admitted with no fear of prosecution. See, this is how deep it goes, with no fear of getting in trouble. Quote, it was like pheasant season in South Dakota. If it moved, you shot it. And this has received very little mainstream media attention, and Barack Obama cannot talk about it even now, and he already won.
And that is Tim Wise speaking very recently, January 2009, about post-racial America. Is there such a thing? 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. 818-985-5735. It's a pledge of just $8.33 a month. That's a $100 pledge for the DVD of this entire speech. It's 2 hours long. And what he just said, I think, is such an important lesson. I mean, Katrina happened only in 2006. Hurricane Katrina hitting New Orleans. This is something that is so recent, and that this happens in the United States and still goes unreported really says a lot, of course, about the state of race relations here in the United States. Tim Wise, one of the most important anti-racist speakers and commentators of our time, delivering this very, very important speech as we are still sort of experiencing the glow of the Obama election. He brings it down to earth. 818-985-KPFK is a phone number to call. We've had a few calls just now. I think a lot of people were moved by what they heard, just heard, as was I. And if you want to get a copy of his book, by the way, it's available also for a pledge of $75 at 818-985-5735. Michael Eric Dyson says, Tim Wise's writing and thinking constitute a bulwark of common sense and uncommon wisdom on the subject of race, politics, and culture. He is a national treasure. Bill Fletcher, executive editor of Black Commentary, Commentator.com, says his book debunks any notion that the United States has entered a post-racial period. Instead, he identifies the problems that emerge in the context of the victory of a black presidential candidate who chose to run an essentially non-racial campaign. Tim Wise is among the most prominent anti-racist writers and activists in the U.S. He's appeared on many, many radio stations, and he is a very popular guest here on KPFK. His previous books include Speaking Treason Fluently and White Like Me. This brand new book just out, published by City Lights Press, is an amazing book. It's very important, and it's the kind of book that I promise you will be the fodder for many a good provocative conversation that you can and should have with your fellow Americans about race relations in the United States. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. 818-985-5735. If we have time, I want to play one more excerpt from the Tim Wise speech a little bit later this hour. But first, I also want to tell you about another exciting campaign that KPFK is embarking on during this fund drive. It's what we're calling the KPFK Permanent Supportive Housing Campaign. And General Manager Sean Heitkemper now joins me in studio to explain this very unique and special thank you gift to our listeners. Welcome, Sean.
Thank you, Sonali. This is something we've been talking about just for a few days. I think it's incredible. It's probably the best thank you gift we've come up with. I think one of the best thank you gifts in public radio around the country. It's very similar to what we did in December, where we had an entire day devoted to hunger and providing people with nutritious meals as a thank you gift to our sponsors. We were purchasing nutritious meals in December. Today, what we're doing is, when you call in for a pledge of $10 a month, a minimum pledge of $10 a month, your thank you gift will be KPFK will purchase on your behalf essential items for people who are formerly homeless, who are about to move into permanent supportive housing. Now, the essential items include bedding, towels, dishes, glasses, hygiene kits, cleaning supplies, utensils, other personal items. These are essential to getting back on your feet. And then the supportive housing includes financial counseling, mental health services, counseling for drug addiction. Some of the people who are moving in to these supportive housing units are suffering from a drug addiction, mental illness. Some of them are veterans with post-traumatic stress syndrome. With this supportive housing campaign, people can move in with their families. And for a $3,000 pledge, tax deductible, sponsorship of KPFK, your thank you gift is you will be basically providing these essential items for an entire household for $3,000. Now, if you'd like to do $10 a month, some of these items will be purchased on your behalf. 818-985-5735. So $10 a month, a total pledge of $120 for the year. This is, we're talking about sponsoring KPFK. We're talking about sponsoring Uprising. 818-985-5735. Your thank you gift for a $10 a month contribution. We won't be sending you a DVD. We won't be sending you a book. But instead, the money that we would have spent on the book or the DVD will be used to purchase these essential items for people in need, people that are moving off of the streets into permanent supportive housing. 818-985-5735. You can also consider a one-time $3,000 sponsorship, a $3,000 pledge to Uprising and to KPFK, and your thank you gift will be we will purchase these items for an entire household. 818-985-5735.
And, you know, if there is somebody out there who can spare that $3,000, it'll take us a very long way towards the $10,000 we'd like to raise this hour to meet the $500,000 mark for this entire fund drive. We're only $10,000 short of the $500,000 mark. And, Sean, I'm always so amazed and impressed by how generous KPFK listeners are. When we did that one-day fundraiser that you mentioned in December, so many people called. We were blown away by how generous people were. And to me, this is what is amazing about KPFK. Our listeners are the most dedicated, most generous, most kind-hearted, most open-minded people that are in Southern California and even our online listeners across the world. And I don't say that because I'm trying to flatter you. I'm serious. And every time I meet KPFK listeners, I'm always so impressed by people's generosity and how much they can give, particularly at this time in this country. You can help so many people through KPFK in this manner. At a time when the housing crash has put so many millions of people on the streets, 2.3 million foreclosures last year alone announced by banks. And Barack Obama has announced his mortgage rescue plan just today. First of all, that may be too little too late for most of those people. And secondly, it's not clear whether that will in fact translate to people being able to stay in their homes today who are facing foreclosure. You can do something about the issue of housing and homelessness here on KPFK by making a pledge of just $10 a month. We have three callers on the line right now. I'd love to see about five or six more of the generous KPFK listeners. You're all generous. I know you are. Making that call and pledging $10 a month. You can do it in someone's name that you love and tell them about what you did today supporting this amazing permanent supportive housing campaign where KPFK will purchase on your behalf items that will enable families to move into a permanent supportive housing unit. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number, 818-985-5735. I also want to bring into our conversation Aura Bogado, the anchor of Free Speech Radio News and a member of the KPFK staff. Welcome back, Aura.
Hey, Sonali, it's good to be here. You know, we only have about 25 minutes left in this hour. We got to be out right on time today for Democracy Now, and we really need to get some more callers on the line. So I want to urge you folks really to really consider doing a payment plan with us. You can do $30 a month, for example, and your pledge makes you a member of KPFK. It makes you a member of the Pacifica family. It helps KPFK, and it helps people in this time of transition. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK is the number to call. Again, you can do $10 a month, $20 a month. I'm really urging people today to do $30 a month. If we get 10 callers that can do $30 a month over the next year to support Uprising, and no, you're not going to walk away with a DVD or a CD, but you're going to walk away with knowing that you supported this program. You're going to get to say, yeah, I pledged for this really great plan, this really new way about thinking about supporting not just KPFK, But the L.A. Homeless population, 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. We want to hear from 10 people that can pledge $30 a month. It's such a small amount. We can take it right out of your credit or debit card each month. And your gift is this. It's this program that you're always tuned into. It's this program that you're listening to right now. You keep tuning in every day to hear what's going on, to hear what you can pledge for, because we're still bringing you important, relevant information every day. And we want something back right now. We want your support. We want you to call us and let us know that you're listening and that this program is worth $30 a month to you, and it's worth a lot more. And in the meantime, you will also be helping people that are transitioning out of a very hard time. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. You know, I was hearing Margaret the other day, and she's saying, we don't always know what to do when we see someone that's asking for change. You know, I saw somebody last night. I sort of gave them some pocket change, and I don't really know or have any idea or not really that concerned about what they're going to do with the money that they're able to raise. But we know that this money is going to go into giving people permanent housing. This is not going to go to, you know, buying a cupcake, for example, for a meal, but this is going to go to give people nutritious meals at a place where they know they can come home and rest their head every night. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. How many times have you been, you know, driving and you come off the freeway and you see a sign that says homeless vets? You know, these are people that fought for this country, and a lot of these folks that are in this kind of transitional situation that are seeking permanent housing are people that sacrifice their lives, that put their lives and their limbs on the line and have come back to a raw deal here in the United States. And these are the kinds of programs that help them. And if you want to help that, and if you want to help this program, and you want to help KPFK, please give us a call right now, 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. We're looking for about 8 more callers that can pledge just $30 a month. That's just pennies a day, folks. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Call us up and say, yeah, you know, I wanna just donate $30 a month, and I don't need to walk away with a DVD. I don't need to walk away with a CD, because I know when I tune into Uprising, because I do all the time, I hear Tim Wise. I hear his voice. I hear people like Cornel West. I hear people like Bell Hooks. I know what KPFK means to me. And I know about all these great authors and lecturers because I listen to KPFK. And I get the analysis that I want because I listen. This is your gift. These airwaves are your gift. It's your radio station. Help us back. Help us keep continuing to do this work, and help people that are going through a really tough time. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK.
Outstanding. Well put. 818-985-5735. You can also pledge online at kpfk.org. When you're at our website, you can see information on the organization that we're partnering with, kpfk.org. $10 a month is the place where you can start if you'd like to pick up this thank you gift. Again, we divert this money that we would normally spend on a DVD or a book to this organization so that we can purchase bedding and towels and dishes and glasses, utensils, hygiene kits, cleaning supplies, other personal items. These are essential items for move-in, people who are formerly homeless who are moving into permanent supportive housing. You can also do that $30 a month. That's a great opportunity, tax deductible, pennies a day, 818-985-5735, or our website, kpfk.org.
And, you know, you can still get the Tim Wise speech as well, which I highly recommend. If you, in fact, pledge for everything we're offering this hour, it's $345 for the year, which is less than a dollar a day. And you can just ask the phone room volunteers if you'd like to do that. And, you know, folks, this is not a choice. When we come to you asking you for your help, it's not something that, you know, we have a choice to do. This is our mission. We, you know, could be corporate sponsored, but then we wouldn't be Pacifica. And if we don't get money from you, we don't get it anywhere else. That's it. This is it. You are the last line of defense between KPFK existing and not existing. And we choose to do it that way. We choose to have this type of existence only because it keeps us honest and independent and sponsored by you and you alone. 818-985-KPFK is a phone number to call. 818-985-5735. It's just 10 $10 a month to support KPFK. It's $10 a month to support Uprising. And, you know, and think about what you get every week when you tune in. You get our daily wonderful audio clip, Subversive Historian, produced by my producer, Gabriel San Roman. You get our weekly commentary, Black Agenda Report. I know there's many, many Glenn Ford fans out there. And this program was the first to begin airing Glenn Ford's commentaries. In fact, we had him start up radio commentaries in order for us to air them. You get Rahul Mahajan's analysis on Empire Notes every Monday. You get the weekly contest that we started, Who Said That, in collaboration with the Pacifica Radio Archives. We have more ideas for the week after the fund drive that we want to start focused around the economy. You get the community calendar after the program every single day where you can find out about events. All of these things are so precious, so valuable. You can't really put a price on them, but KPFK wouldn't be around without your support. And today we're offering you a gift, a way to support KPFK, and with that same donation, support people who were once homeless and are able to move into or have the opportunity to move into permanent supportive housing. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number, 818-985-5735. Thank you, Sean and Aura. I hope we'll hear from you again later this hour. We don't have much time left, but I want to go back to Tim Wise because there's, you know, he has a lot of wisdom about the issue of race relations in the United States, particularly around President Obama. And I want to play this excerpt of Tim Wise's speech where he discusses how actually standards for people of color may become higher after Barack Obama's presidency.
I have, like I said, a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old, and sometimes we go to these birthday parties, right? About halfway through the birthday party for the kids, some clown shows up. I'm never real happy about it, but there's always a clown got to come to a kid's party, and they show up with those balloons, you know, the clowns have. The balloons that start off like a bunny rabbit, and then you squeeze one in, and now it's a doggy, and then you squeeze it again, and it's a little crown that you can put on your head, and then you squeeze it again, and it's a kitty cat, but it's still a balloon. It's still polymer and air. And the same is true with racism. It can shapeshift from 1 to 2.0, and it's still racism. It didn't fundamentally change form and function, even as it changed shape. So we run the risk of missing that, at least at this point. The third risk, there's a danger that we may, because of Obama's success, create or allow for the creation and the regeneration and the embedding of a new archetype of acceptable black and brownness. That is to say that white folks will come to need people of color to be like him in order to be taken seriously and thought of as capable. What happens then to the average person? You know, the average person, regardless of race, is not as intelligent, erudite, educated, articulate as that man. And yet white folks have never had to be. Because you can run the gamut of articulateness or the decided lack thereof. You can run the gamut of accent, of erudition, of education, of style, of form, of content, of apparent intelligence, and still get to run the country. As long as you're white. Run major corporations as long as you're white. Now, on the other hand, people of color not. I don't think, for example, that Barack Obama would have been ever taken seriously as a presidential candidate if he had graduated fifth from the bottom of his military academy. Or even as a vice presidential candidate for someone else had he gone to 6 colleges in 4 years and barely graduated from any of them. That is a privilege of whiteness alone. People of color do not get to do that, do not get to screw up that monumentally and still be thought of as anywhere near capable enough. So now what happens? We have this amazingly educated, erudite, articulate, brilliant, wise guy who is in the office. And what is that going to mean for the average everyday person of color if they don't bring it like he brings it? What if they have a different style, a different affect, a different cadence? Every bit is brilliant. What if they wear their hair in locks? What if they wear culturally specific and relevant clothing to them? That doesn't change their level of ability, their wisdom, their intelligence, their capacity for doing good work in a particular company, for example, or in a nonprofit agency or government agency or in a particular classroom. But what if folks come to expect and to need people of color to rock it like Obama does in order to be taken seriously? That means we will actually erect new barriers for average everyday folks of color. And this was a danger not only with regard to race, but with regard to Sarah Palin, with regard to gender. As a father to 2 young girls, I was petrified, not just because I didn't want her that close to the presidency on a policy level and, you know, philosophical level. I mean, that's part of it, you know, but really the big deal for me is the father of girls. was a fear that, especially if she was successful and won, that it would create this archetype of acceptable womanhood too, acceptable femininity, that you have to look like that and be the object of sexual ogling on the part of men and sound like you don't know nothing about nothing. You don't have to know that Africa is a continent. As long as you look good and wear cool glasses and have a cute updo and guys think you're hot, which is what I kept hearing on the campaign trail. Guys were, I'm going to vote for her because she's hot. Again, I generally support universal suffrage, but I'm thinking of making some exceptions for people who think things like that.
And that is Tim Wise. I'm so sorry we had to interrupt his speech, but he is not only entertaining, but also, of course, extremely educational and provocative, and challenges our notions of race relations in the United States. He has done so from the beginning of his career, and we hope he'll keep doing so because we want to keep airing his speeches, his words, and that's what you get from KPFK. You get people giving their whole, being able to express whole sentiments and being able to express what they want to say and not be restricted to a 10-second soundbite. 818-985-KPFK is a phone number to call. The speech of his his speech on DVD, available for a pledge of just $8.33 a month or $100 all at once, that has been quite popular this fund drive, and we'd love for you to get a copy of it if you haven't already, or if you would like to have your donation go towards supporting people in the LA area transition towards permanent supportive housing. You don't get a thank you gift that's tangible, but you do get the knowledge that your money has gone towards supporting both KPFK and people in need. That's a $10 a month contribution to KPFK's permanent supportive housing. At 818-985-KPFK, we have 12 minutes left in the hour, folks, and we'd love to hear from many of you. Right now, there's no callers on the line, which is sad. I want to see many of you calling in. We wanted this fund drive to be over this week, but we know times are tough, and KPFK has done a lot of belt tightening. We've had layoffs here, as you may have heard on this station. We don't want to have any more layoffs because, at some point you can only lay off so many people and the station doesn't continue anymore. It's that dire. I mean, I don't want to be alarmist, but at the same time, I don't think you understand necessarily the importance of supporting KPFK financially at this time. 818-985-5735 is the phone number. Thank you for those two calls. If you can pledge $10 a month, if you can pledge $8.33 a month for the speech on DVD, maybe you can pledge $1 a day. If you pledge $345, you can get all the gifts we're offering this hour: book, DVD, CD, and the donation to the Permanent Supportive Housing Campaign. It's less than $1 a day, actually. So we have four callers on the line right now, and we just barely have 10 minutes to raise as much money as possible this hour. It's so important that we keep not only this program on the air, but this station on the air. A lot of us here at KPFK work very, very hard to bring you this information, and we do it without too many resources. I mean, I can't tell you the conditions under which we work sometimes. It's almost embarrassing. There's literally just two people producing this five-day-a-week drive-time program, which is literally unheard of in any other radio market, particularly in commercial radio, but, of course, NPR as well. You would never see. I mean, you would have an afternoon program with at least five producers, maybe four, but a morning drive-time program having just two producers and the host also being the producer. That's very, very, alien to much of radio. But that's how we do things here on Pacifica Radio, because we don't want to waste too much of your money. We have a shoestring budget, and we do it with your help. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. We have four callers on the line. I want to urge you, every single one of you who's out there listening, if you haven't made a pledge yet, you need to come on board. Only a small percentage of listeners actually pledge to keep radio stations on the air that they love to listen to. And so there's a small percentage of you who are holding it up for the rest of you. So the rest of you, folks, I'm talking to you. Maybe the person who has never pledged but who's been listening for a few years. Maybe the person who didn't pledge in the last few fund drives. Maybe the person who has just discovered the station and this is your first opportunity to pledge. you, all of you, 818-985-KPFK, 818-985-5735 is the phone number. We have 6 callers on the line. Thank you so much for that response. Keep those calls coming in. It's less than $1 a day to get all the gifts that we're offering this hour. We have 8 callers on the line right now. Again, 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. Aura Bogado once more joining me in studio to help urge you, to give you a little incentive to separate from those dollars in your wallet and send them towards KPFK. Aura?
We've got less than 10 minutes left in this broadcast to reach our goal, and we know we can do it. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. I'm going to follow up with what you said. Those people that are listening, and we know there's thousands of you listening out there right now that have never pledged. You have never pledged to Uprising. You've never pledged to KPFK. I want to urge you to stop. Think about what you did this morning. You probably more than likely woke up in a bed this morning. You had breakfast in a kitchen. You're probably driving in your car right now. You're probably at work or somewhere where you really want to be. But a lot of people don't have that luxury. And your pledge of just $30 a month today is going to help those people into permanent housing. It's going to help people come out of a transition and get into safe, permanent housing, get all kinds of counseling, get nutritious meals, get everything that you and I get each morning. And you can do that for a pledge of just $30 a month. And importantly, you can also help KPFK and you can help Uprising. Again, those people who have never pledged to Uprising, who have never pledged to KPFK, please, seriously, folks, we're going to need to hear from you now. 818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK. Call us up. There's folks waiting to hear from you in the phone room and say, I want to pledge $30 a month and I want to walk away with the gift of KPFK. I was answering phones yesterday and people were calling up and saying, I want to get the trap. I want to get the trap. I want to get the trap. I want you to call up and say, I want to get KPFK. And in order for me to ensure that, I want to pledge $30 a month, just $30 a month to ensure this programming continue for the next year, for the next 2 years, for the next 5 years, however long you've been listening. We know there's so many of you that listen to this show day in and day out, talk about it with your friends and family, kind of avoid giving money at the fund drive, but you're still listening. You're listening right now, and you need to give us a call. Show us your support. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Let's hear from 10 more people giving us a call and pledging $30 a month to ensure that this program continue and to ensure that it helps people that are going into permanent housing, formerly homeless people that have now found some support, and you can help do that. You can help keep this program on the air. You can help KPFK. You can vote with your dollars, $30 a month, 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. We've got about 7 minutes left in this hour to really plead with you and to speak to your consciousness and really remind you folks, you're listening every morning, you're listening right now. I'm not sure what that word is that's going to compel you to stop what you're doing and go to the phone other than to remind you that you do have so many choices of what you can listen to, and you're choosing to listen to this. You're choosing to listen to KPFK. You're choosing to listen to us asking you for money because you love Uprising, because you love KPFK, and we need to hear from you now. Give us a call and say, my gift is KPFK to the community, just $30 a month, 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK.
And we just had a number of lines open up. We had a huge number of people calling in. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. We have 3 callers now, and we had 10 just a few minutes earlier. So a lot of lines opening up. If you called and got a busy signal, now's your chance to get back in. You know, Aura, I want to read for you and our listeners an excerpt from the KPFK of the Pacifica Mission. You know, people don't often realize that by their support, they're supporting a network that's been around for 60 years this year, and KPFK this this station was formed 10 years after Pacifica started KPFA up in Berkeley. So we turned 50 this year. And what Pacifica's goal is, quote, to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors, to gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between any and all of such groups and through any and all means compatible with the purposes of this corporation to promote the study of political and economic problems and of the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonisms. That's been Pacifica's mission for 60 years. This institution must go on. This institution, having been around for longer than many of us have been alive, must be around for our children and our children's children. This is as American an institution as we get, and this must continue. It is so crucial that we preserve our precious, precious institutions. Three callers on the line still, 818-985-KPFK is a phone number, 818-985-KPFK. You know, these halls in this station have seen so many dozens, hundreds of thousands perhaps of volunteer programmers, managers, paid staff members, board operators, hosts, and interns over the decades. And we want this station to be around for many, many more generations of young people to come through to learn radio, to create radio, to tell their own stories, because that's what the station provides. I mean, Ara, we've had so many amazing young interns on Uprising that have just produced amazing work, all the way from high school to college, or newly graduated interns who we've trained, who have helped us on this show. And I think, you know, every single one of those interns, I think, has taken away something really beautiful from their experience here at the station. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. We only have 2 minutes left in the hour, folks. We have two callers on the line. I know that you want to make a pledge to KPFK. All of you who listen to the station who've never pledged, those of you who have pledged, thank you so much, particularly those of you who pledge repeatedly. You know, there are people who pledge every fund drive and sometimes multiple times during a fund drive. That's how generous our listeners are. But those of you who have never pledged but you listen regularly, if you want to look at yourself in the mirror this morning and feel good about yourself, come on, I know you want to. Donate to KPFK at 818-985-KPFK. We just have a minute left, Ara.
We have just a minute left, and we need to hear from some more people. Again, $30 a month goes towards what Sonali was saying, you know, our mission. Part of that mission is a lasting understanding between people, between nations. It's this kind of programming that brings a lasting understanding to this country, a very diverse nation. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Again, I want to hear from just five people. In the couple minutes we have left, just five people who have never called before, who have never made that pledge before, please stop and consider what this program is worth every day in your life. You listen to us every single morning, and we need to hear from you. We need you to call up and say, I do listen every morning. My gift is KPFK. I'm going to pledge $30 a month. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Again, those folks who have never called and supported Uprising before, please give us a call right now. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK.
And if you have a big donation you can make, remember there's also an opportunity to donate $3,000 to support an entire unit. You can do that. We really could use those big donations. Thank you so much, Aura Bogado, for Sonali's subversive thought for the day. Pearl S. Buck, the author, once said, the person who tries to live alone will not succeed as a human being. His heart withers if it does not answer another heart. His mind shrinks away if he hears only the echoes of his own thoughts and finds no other inspiration. That's Pearl S. Buck, and that's Sonali's subversive thought for the day. KPFK inspires you every day. Be a part of this amazing radio station and make a pledge at 818-985-KPFK. You've been listening to Uprising. Gabriel San Roman is our assistant producer. Nadia Richardson is our engineer. Special thanks to Ara Bogado and Sean Heitkemper. I'm your host and producer, Sonali Golhatkar. Thanks so much for listening and for making a pledge.